Hi, this is Alison from Sanctuary. I'm reflecting on a vision from the book of Isaiah, which you find in chapter 65. 20 years ago, Kudgy was a depleted paddock. Now it's an oasis. Families have built sustainable homes and are raising their children there. People have planted countless indigenous trees and grasses and shrubs. The creek is overhung by eucalypts. Blocks are lined with wildlife corridors. Koalas grunt and roam. There are organic gardens and orchards, happy chooks, contented ducks, an indigenous plant nursery and the best garlic in Victoria. I look at Kudgy and all the other localities represented in this church. I look at the people who are making these localities into neighbourhoods of restoration and beauty and hope. And I see the vision from Isaiah 65. You are building houses and inhabiting them. You are planting orchards and eating their fruit. You are enjoying the work of your hands, and your children are born into safety and prosperity. And sitting in your beautiful homes and walking in your beautiful gardens and eating your beautiful garlic, I think, here are the children blessed by God, for the vision of Shalom is alive and well among you. And long may this vision flourish. Rejoice and be glad in what God is creating and continues to create among you and through the work of your hands. Yet I say this acknowledging a tension. Isaiah's vision was directed to the first wave of exiles returning to the Promised Land. Many years earlier, Judah had been invaded by the Assyrians. The elite had been carted off. Houses and buildings were laid to waste, and the fruits of the earth seized by the invading empire. Nearly 200 years later, the tide turned. Assyria fell, Persia dominated, and King Darius of Persia commissioned the people to go home and rebuild. So Isaiah's vision of peace and prosperity was directed to a people who'd known war and invasion, who'd been living in exile, and who were now returning to a shattered homeland. It sounds a lot like our region's recent history, but not for us white fellas. We're more like the Assyrians, because 200 years ago, the Eastern Ma nation fell to the British Empire. Settler colonials seized the land. Guns, violence, exposure, and tuberculosis quickly killed countless First Peoples. Indigenous homes were destroyed. Possum cloaks were stolen and replaced with infected blankets. And hard little hooves dug up the main source of food, the murnong or yam daisy, and they compacted the soil forever. Successive government policies internally displaced those who survived, and stole children, and banned language, and compelled assimilation. As most of the people gathered here recognize, it's because of this recent history that we ourselves have land and prosperity and hope for our children. So we need to be thoughtful in how we claim Isaiah's vision of Shalom. Like many in this region, we can claim this vision without acknowledging our history or the cost to First Peoples. Or we can be so paralyzed by guilt that we neither claim the vision with confidence nor do anything about historic injustice. But Isaiah describes a world in which the feral cat and the bandicoot shall feed together. And just as a kangaroo eats flax lily, so too the fox. Neither stubborn denial nor crippling guilt will bring about the fullness of Isaiah's vision of healing and wholeness for everyone. So we must find other ways of living and being in this land, ways beyond guilt, ways beyond denial. As a congregation of mostly white Australians, then, how do we listen to stories and acknowledge our history, sit with our guilt, and let it galvanize us towards responsibility and healing? How do we work towards a vision where all peoples can plant and build and work towards restoration? How do we work towards a vision where nobody's labour shall be in vain and where nobody's children shall be born for calamity or trauma or removal or assimilation? And how can we continue to work with the Holy Spirit so that this becomes a holy place where not just white fellows but people of all nations, Gunditjmara, settler colonial, recent migrant, people of all nations live and work side by side towards Isaiah's vision of human flourishing? The Shalom Group is beginning to ask these and similar questions, and you're all invited to join us. The poet Mickey Scott Bay Jones writes, "We have the right to start somewhere and continue to grow. We have the responsibility to examine what we think we know, and it's in this spirit that we will work. And we will persist in hope, trusting that God is continuing to create a new thing, a region created as a joy and its people as a delight, where the feral cat and the bandicoot shall feed together, the fox shall eat flaxily like the kangaroo, and colonial capitalist greed will no longer gnaw at the human heart. That serpent's food shall be dust. For they shall not hurt or destroy on God's holy mountain, not Bajbim, not Koroit, not Moijul." So as we explore our past and critique our present and look to our future, let us travel deeply into the questions and into Isaiah's vision of Shalom. Let us allow them to change us, and let us keep working towards that joyful day when the vision of Shalom encompasses everyone. Amen. And God is creating new heavens and a new earth. So rejoice and be glad and participate. Make homes, plant gardens, do good work, and enjoy the fruits of your labor. And work and pray for the day when all people can do likewise. Amen. If you like what you heard, there's always more to read on our website at sanctuarybaptist, all one word, .wordpress.com. Sanctuary is funded entirely by members and supporters. If you'd like to support the work of this little church, you can make a donation via PayPal. You'll find the details for this on the website. I quoted from a poem by Mickey Scott Bay Jones, Invitation to Brave Space. If you Google Invitation to Brave Space, you'll find it very quickly on her website. Thanks for listening.